Today I am continuing a series about names, talking about names as they come to us in the Bible. And we have looked at some examples of this in some of the messages that we've had over the past number of weeks. Particularly, we are looking at examples in the Bible where God comes and changes somebody's name. Perhaps where somebody had a name, but then God comes and changes and gives them a new name. And when that happens, what those names mean. Because what we have discovered is that names in the Bible have meaning. And so when we look at those names, we look at the meaning of those names. And we have looked at a few examples of that. Examples of names that have been changed, like the disciple Simon, who got the name Peter. We've looked at the example of Abram, who God gave the name Abraham. And then last week, we looked at the example of Jacob, who God gave the name Israel. Today, we look at another example. This time, we look at an example of the name of God himself, that God gives himself a name. So I'm going to be reading a few verses that come from Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3 is the story that maybe we commonly remember or know as the story of the burning bush, where Moses meets God face to face at the burning bush at Mount Sinai. So I'm taking just a few verses out of that, focusing on names, particularly the name of God. So this then, from Exodus chapter 3, and I am beginning to read at verse 7, where it says this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That's as far as we're... A few more verses, okay. And then God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? What then shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So something about the name of God here today. What God is revealing about who he is in the name that he gives for himself. We should remember a few things and that give some background to this that will maybe help us understand this passage as we go through it. So there are three questions that I'm going to put before us for this passage, right? Three questions that we're going to consider today. First of all, we'll consider the question, why does Moses need to know God's name? And then secondly, we'll ask the question, what is God's name? And then thirdly, we'll ask the question, what does God's name mean? All right, we'll take it in that order. So then, why does Moses need to know the name of God? Why is he even asking this question? As though he does not know who it is that he's talking to here at the burning bush. And maybe in fact that is true. He does not know who he's talking to, and he's looking for some identification. But I think there's a little bit more than that going on. What we remember in the background of this story is that we remember that Moses is someone who grew up as an Egyptian. even though that he was born as a Hebrew, he was born as one of the Jewish people, that from a very young age, he was taken from his Jewish family and he lived in the palace of the Pharaoh as one of the Egyptian princes. And likely then he learned the religion and the ways of the Egyptian people, that he knew about all of the gods of the Egyptian religion. And if he knew anything at all about the Jewish religion, that likely would have been just more by association. But he had this mixed background, that Moses, we need to remember, is someone who was not born and raised knowing only and exclusively the ways of the Jewish, the Hebrew people. But he had this grab bag, this mixture of religious teachings that he had inside of him, that he was taught, that he learned. And so when he comes to this place on Mount Sinai with the burning bush, he asks the question, who is it that I'm talking to here? Who is it that's before me? Moses needs to know that. But we also remember about Moses something else. We remember that he's a fugitive. Right, Moses is wanted for murder, that he killed somebody in Egypt and was wanted for murder, so he ran away. That's why he's at Mount Sinai in the first place, tending sheep, giving himself a new life away from Egypt. So when this God comes in a burning bush and says to Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, you can hear what's going on in the back of Moses' head here, that he's thinking to himself, I'm a wanted man there. I'm wanted for murder. If I go back there, particularly if I go back to the Pharaoh, I'm a dead man. They're not going to listen to me. I have no credibility. My name carries no weight there. So he asks God, so who are you? What's your name? And he asks God that name because he's looking for credibility. Credibility and authority that he knows does not exist in himself, that Moses does not carry this. But does the name of God carry authority? Does the name of God carry credibility? You see, up to this point in the story, we need to remember that Moses, in his entire life, has had no direct experience with God face to face up to this point. Not that we know of anyway, not that is revealed to us in Scripture. So we take this then as the very first time that Moses has actually had a face-to-face conversation, encounter with God. He's making the introductions here. Tell me about who you are. But the way that he asked God to tell me about who you are is simply by saying, what's your name? Because we've seen in past examples as we've been going through this series that names have meaning. So it's not just that Moses is asking God, what do I call you? But Moses is asking God, tell me about yourself. Tell me something about who you are, about your character and reputation and identity, because those things are all wrapped up and tied into whatever name you have. That's what he's asking. That's what he wants to know. And he wants to know that because he knows that What this God is asking him to do, to go back to Egypt to confront the Pharaoh, Moses does not carry in his own name the right or the authority or the credibility to do that. So he wants to know, does this God have the right, the authority, the credibility to do that? Tell me who you are. So God tells him the name. Let's talk a little bit about what that name is, the name of God that he gives him. First of all, I'm going to give you a few Hebrew words. The first word here is Elohim. Elohim is the Hebrew word that means God, but it means God in the generic sense, in a general sense. It could be the label that's given to any God, any deity, any supernatural spiritual being. So any title that that God may have, no matter who it is, they would call by the title of Elohim, God or a God. And there are examples of that in Scripture, that even the God of the Bible is referred to with that title in a variety of words. So we have Hebrew words like El Shaddai, which means God Almighty, or El Elyon, God Most High, all variations of the word Elohim, which just means a simple generic title for God, for any God. That's how Moses is addressing this God. Who are you? I know you're a God, someone who has that title, but tell me particularly, who are you among all of these gods that the pagan world at that time identified and worshipped? So God gives him a personal name, not a generic name, a personal name, his name. I am is what we read in our Bibles, but it's the Hebrew name Yahweh that we translate as I am. In our NIV Bibles, it's translated, you find it in Scripture as the name Lord, but in our NIV Bibles, it's spelled with all capital letters. So whenever you see the name Lord with all capitals, that is the Hebrew word Yahweh, the name of God. Or if you maybe remember, like from the old King James version of the Bible, they used the word, the name Jehovah, as Yahweh. So there are different expressions in different English translations for Yahweh, the personal name of God that we translate as I am, or Lord with all capital letters. Other translations of the Bible may say this is I am who I am, or I am that I am, but it's all an expression of Yahweh and what that means then. So how do we understand this name? I am. It's a word that expresses active presence. Yahweh is a verb that expresses being, to be. We have so many ways of expressing that in English, right? Am, is, are, was, were, be, being, been, all different English variations of to be, Yahweh, that expression of being and presence. But we remember a little bit more about that too, that Yahweh is something that expresses presence in a continual way. You'll have to bear with me a little bit here because I may be tipping back into what might be middle school grammar for some of us, that we have to talk a little bit about grammar as we talk about Yahweh. It's a verb that expresses being, but verbs, we may know, express things in different tenses, past tense, present tense, future tense, and we do that in a variety of ways. I'll give you some examples, right? That if we're talking about a boy who runs to the store, that if we talk about that in past tense, we would say something like, the boy ran to the store. Ran being a past tense, something that has already happened. If we want to talk present tense, we would say, the boy runs to the store. Present tense, it's happening now. If we want to talk future tense, we would express that as, the boy will run to the store. Will run, a future thing. Then, I'll go one step further. We have this English verb tense for ongoing, continual action. When we do that in English, that usually means we put an ing ending on the word. So something like that would be the example, the boy is running to the store. It's happening right now. It's continual. It's ongoing. It has not ended yet. Now, Hebrew verbs don't work in tenses the same way English words do, but this is as close as we could probably get, that it's this continual ongoing action that God reveals in the name Yahweh, I am. But we don't have an English word for that because there is no such word as I aming. It doesn't exist. But that's kind of what this Hebrew word is after for the name of God. I am who I am, or I am that I am, or a made-up word, I aming is what God says about who he is. Or maybe to stretch that name out a little bit further to capture the meaning of this, what God is telling Moses is, I am who I always was, who I always will be. Taking all of what we would consider as verb tenses, past, present, future, continual, ongoing, taking every single one of them and putting them into one word, one name. I am who I always was, who I always will be. That's the name that God gives for himself and reveals to Moses. That's the name that establishes authority and credibility. That's the name that answers the question that Moses is really asking here. How do I know about who you are? What's your reputation? What is your character? What is your identity? And God answers that simply by saying, you want to know my reputation? You want to know my character? You want to know my identity? I am the one who always was, who always is, and who always will be and never stops. I am always there, always present, always with you. That is above all other things that God reveals about himself through his name. That's the one thing he chooses in that name, Yahweh. Remembering, I'm there with you. I always have been, I am now, and I always will be, and I will not leave. That's what God's name means when he reveals that. That's Yahweh. So how do we take that as a meaning? Right? What then does the name of God mean for us as we understand that? Let me give you just a little bit more of a Hebrew lesson here. That in the Hebrew language, the name Yahweh actually comes with no vowels. It's only consonants, four consonants. It is the letters that in English we would name them as the letters YHWH. That's the name that's written in the Hebrew Bible for Yahweh. YHWH. How do you pronounce that? You can't, because there's no vowels in it. It's just this string of consonants that if you were to pronounce the word YHWH, it would just come out as sort of, yeah. It's a breath. It's a noise. In fact, there is an old Jewish rabbi folktale that they tell about the name of God, which says exactly that. That the name of God, Yahweh, or take the vowels out, YHWH, that this name of God simply comes out as a breath, Yah. And so, the Jewish rabbis would say, to breathe is to speak the name of God. And every breath that you take speaks the name of God. So the rabbis would say that when a baby is born, what's the very first thing that a baby does? What's the very first expression of life that you hear from a baby? A breath, or speaking the name of God. What's the last thing a person does before they die? Take their last breath. And when you stop breathing and you die, you stop speaking the name of God. And so the rabbis would say that every moment of every day, all day long, all night long, whether you're awake, whether you're asleep, you never ever stop speaking the name of God, because to breathe is to speak God's name, and to speak God's name is to live, and you cannot live without it. So the story goes, as the Jewish rabbis tell it. Now that story does not come in the Bible. It's just a Jewish folk tale. But there's something instructive in that for us today, isn't it? Something instructive that tells us and reminds us about that active, continual presence of God that is always with us and never leaves us, that is ongoing. And we see that in Scripture. We see that in the way that God moves in Scripture, that when he reveals himself in Scripture, he comes in ways that give his presence to us. That Jesus comes on earth and lives as one of us. And when he does that, it is an expression of God's name, his active presence with us. When the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost and is given to the church, those who follow Jesus, those who follow in his ways, that gift of the Holy Spirit, his presence with us, is an expression of God's name, that he is with us in an ongoing way. So the question then that we leave with today is a question of, how do our lives embrace that? How do the lives that you and I live embrace the name of God, of who he is? That we embrace the name of God in a way that says in who we are and how we live, that we affirm he's here, he's with us, he's present. You see, because I think Moses could have asked some questions, some further questions of God. Moses could have asked of God, so God, you're the God of I am who's here. Where were you back when I was in Egypt? Back when I was a fugitive? Back when I had to run for my life? Were you there? And I don't think God would have answered, I was. I think God would answer, I am. I'm already there. Everything that has ever happened in your life, everything that has come up to this point in your life, God already has that firmly in the grip of his hand. Not that he was there, but that he holds it even now, all the days that have gone before us. Moses could have asked the question, all right, God, so if I do what you want me to do, if I go back to Pharaoh and I do all these things, how do I know you will be there with me? How do I know you will be? And I don't think God would have answered, I will. I think God's answer is, I am. I am already there. All of these things in your future, all these things that are unknown about the days that are ahead of you, all of these questions that you hold and anxieties about what tomorrow may bring and what the future may hold, all the things that we look at the future and say, God, will you be there? God says, I already am. I'm already there. I've already got your life in my hand. Every day that comes before you, every day after the next, God says, I am already there. And I've got it. I've got you. I hold you within my grace. So how does your life embrace that name of God today? How do we as people of God then go forward knowing and affirming that, yes, God is the God of I am. He is the God who always was, always is, always will be, and never lets go. That we are people then who go with assurance, with peace, knowing that our God is always there with us. And we know it simply by the name he gives himself and reveals to us. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are the God who is always there, always with us, never lets us go. God, thank you that you are the one who holds all things in the grip of your hand. Lord, may you remind us in times when we struggle to remember that you are the God who's always been, always is, always will be. And may you then give us peace and assurance in that, that we may have peace with you. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.